Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, and let's get to that other level of understanding, the one that asks you to go to a place where you learn that your illness, what you're concerned about getting on the other side of, is not necessarily just herbal. It's lifestyle changes that you integrate with concepts like your structure, your emotions, remediating those scars in your body, and that blend of those four variables, your nutritional chemistry, your psycho-emotional state, your structural state, and then last but not least, those scars that you have to remediate. That blend turns on your electrical field, and that organizes your chemistry to cure. That is the medicine of the future. In that right now, whether we're talking about pharmaceutical drugs or herbs, the tendency is to understand your illness as simply an array of chemicals that have to be altered for your betterment. And that's just not as deep as understanding that those chemicals, once they're combined, whether it's herbally or pharmaceutically, create an electrical field. And the measurement and the power in that electrical field is really the highest intelligence in the body. So we're going to apply this understanding today to the 10 top surgeries to avoid. I'm going to list the 10 most unnecessary and possibly detrimental surgeries that you can and that the American public gets each year, and I'm going to teach you an alternative based upon those four variables. How you're going to look at nutritional shifts, psycho-emotional shifts, shifts in your structure, and remediating those scars. Those four combinations are how you'll avoid the top 10 surgeries. First surgery, hyperthyroidism or Graves' disease. So, again, the thyroid gland is a little puffy cotton candy sort of a gland right at the base of the neck, and its central function is to control your metabolism. So when we say someone's got a low metabolism, it means all the millions of chemical reactions in the cell don't go fast enough. And we understand this as low thyroid, which is generally treated with a synthetic thyroxin or what we call levothyroxine or Synthroid. That's the low thyroid. Lots of people get this. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what they call Graves' disease or hyperthyroidism. This is scary when you get this. When you get the low thyroid, you don't feel energetic. You get constipated. Your skin gets dry. It's not pleasant, but it's livable. But the hyperthyroid, which is what we're discussing, or Graves' disease, is when that thyroid gland starts to secrete too much thyroxine, so it goes high. When it goes high, the symptoms are scary. The scariest symptom amidst insomnia, insatiable appetites, joint pain, restlessness, the scariest symptom when the thyroid goes high, when you get Graves' disease, is the heart palpitations. You feel like your heart is about to jump out of your rib cage. You feel like your heart's going to burst. And that's what sends you into the emergency room. That's what sends you to your endocrinologist. And then they measure the levels of thyroxine, and they tell you, well, we're going to try a 6-week to 12-week course of a drug called tapazole, or its derivative. And that drug, hopefully, will slow down the thyroid. They'll also give you a beta blocker, usually a teninol, and that'll slow down the heart. So they mitigate the symptoms, as they should, and then we see. And what happens after 6 to 12 weeks is if that gland is still hyperactive, then they talk to you about radiating the gland or even cutting the gland out. They both amount to the same thing. So after a 6 to 12 week course with Graves' disease, with hyperthyroidism, they're going to tell you, well, we're just going to take out the gland then, or we're going to radiate it. Now, a lot of people don't understand that when we give you radioactive iodine, we kill the gland. Sometimes people don't equate the death of the gland with radioactive iodine because they know that the thyroid needs iodine. Well, you got to catch that little shift there. When you give somebody a iodine atom, but that's radioactive, that has the capacity to bind into the thyroid. And the reason that they give you radioactive iodine is because they know that the thyroid needs iodine. So you're going to get lots of that radioactive hit to the gland. A radioactive molecule, okay, a radioactive atom, a radioactive isotope will destroy tissue. So they're really giving you a surgery through radiation. And this is what we do today. And then we tell our patient that we can simply regulate the amount of Synthroid that they get artificially, that through pharmaceutical medicine, we can just go to the doctor, get a prescription, you see an endocrinologist every so many months, and we can figure out the dose you need. Well, you see, the problem with this is that that's only partly true. The problem with this is that the relationship between your thyroid gland and your hypothalamus and your pituitary, your brain, that the brain is talking to the thyroid consistently. And the brain is measuring the amount of available thyroxine. And this is done in picogram levels. This is done in billionths, trillionths of a gram. This is done so precisely that it is really a terrible assumption that if we take the gland out, we're going to be able to regulate the amount of Synthroid or thyroxine your body needs by a blood test every 6 months. Think about that. We have this divinely precise mechanism between the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and your glandular system. This feedback loop, it basically says if the amount of thyroxine that controls your metabolism is too high, the pituitary and hypothalamus in your brain will find out about it and send a message down to the thyroid gland to slow down production. And we're going to replace that with a blood test every 6 months. Well, you guessed it. It doesn't work. And each year, thousands of these glands are cut out in the name of, if you don't get this out, you're going to go into thyroid storm, and something's going to happen to your heart that's going to be absolutely irreversible and tragic. The truth of the matter is, number one, when the gland comes out, after they radiate it, and you're on Synthroid, it's not that you're going to be sick after that in the sense of you're going to feel ill. You're going to feel better, but you see the long-term effect of not having the thyroxine regulated with the precision that was put there originally, that is very costly. And if you see people who have had these thyroidectomies or these radiated thyroids, over a decade or two, their life has changed. Generally, they age much faster. They dry out much faster. The wrinkles come much sooner. We also know statistically they have a much higher incidence of stroke once this gland comes out. All sorts of funny things happen to them that aren't going to be related to the thyroidectomy. But nonetheless, if you watch people and how they age and how they progress after the surgery, you're going to see that they're never the same. And lots of them will tell you, after that, I wasn't the same. So let's understand something. If you've got a thyroid cancer, that's a different story. A thyroid cancer, once it's diagnosed, is nothing to take lightly. And if, unfortunately, there's no option but to do that type of a surgery, to cut out or kill a gland because you want to prevent the metastasis, that's one thing. But Graves' disease, hyperthyroidism can cure. And it's not the nature of this show to go into the cures that I've seen, but simply to tell you that most fundamentally, hyperthyroidism is a problem and here's where the education now is so important, is an autonomic disease. So I'm going to lay down a word that should have, especially if you've listened to this show before, especially if you've been to the archives, this should have a lot of meaning. An autonomic disease, it means that the sympathetic nervous system has run amok. It means that your lifestyle is such that you've been speeding up. And when you speed up, because your brain says, work faster, work harder, work longer, sleep less, eat worse, do more, worry more, get angry more, when you're a city slicker, when you live the life of your average city slicker, your brain tells the thyroid gland to speed up through a set of nerves called the sympathetic nerves. The sympathetic nerves are the electrical signals to the organ systems which ask the organs to speed up. And you don't think about this. They function independently of your consciousness. The autonomic nervous system is not in your conscious control. For instance, you don't think about having to tell your heart to speed up when you need to run faster, nor do you think about telling your heart to slow down when you're at rest. But if those signals, the upspeed signal and the downspeed signal, the sympathetic dominant impulse and its counterpart, the parasympathetic impulse, if they don't work in balance, if they get their signals crossed, you don't work correctly. I have never seen a case of hyperthyroidism, of Graves' disease, of people coming in with their hearts pounding. I have never seen a case of it, and I've seen dozens of cases of it over the years. I have seen people cure it without surgery. I have seen people go to surgery. I have seen just about all there is to see with high hyperthyroidism. But I have never seen a single case of it where a person wasn't sympathetic dominant. I have never seen a case of it where a person wasn't under stress, and then the real stress came. I have never seen a case in 2 decades of Graves' disease, of hyperthyroidism, where somebody from the time they were little hasn't led a stressful life. And it's been stress upon stress upon stress. And by the time you hit your 4th decade, you can no longer deal with that stress. And then something really stressful happens. You lose your job. You lose a relationship. You lose a parent, a friend, a brother, a sister, and it just takes you over the top. And you wake up one morning at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. and your heart is pounding and it's going to jump out of your body. Now, you can talk about an herbal cure. You can talk about a pharmaceutical cure. But I don't see this happen. Tapazole works sometimes. Most of the time, after Tapazole fails, they tell you to radiate. And as far as herbs are concerned, well, there are herbs out there, and there are theories, and there are notions from there's too much metal in the thyroid, to you should try bugleweed, so on and so forth. And I can say to you, good luck. I hope it works for you. But when it doesn't, understand what I have always seen to be the case. And that is a person has to understand how to relax, how to kick the parasympathetic nerves back in. And you're listening and you're saying, thank you for telling me something I already know. Who doesn't understand that they need to relax in a stress-oriented illness? We could say that that's common to everything. Except here's the point, and here's the point of the show. The fallacy of nutritional medicine, the fallacy of many medicines, is that we use words that we think we understand and we don't. You see, when I say relax, I mean kick your body back into parasympathetic levels, to the place where relaxation hits a threshold where it starts to change the physiology of your body. That's a different story. That's a relaxation that most people don't really understand. And this is where the education comes in. This is what I implore you, the listener, to understand.